Mari kita koba Indomie.
Yeah, man, what she said.
This is a hot dog is a sandwich. Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
Hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where you break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti. And that was me speaking Indonesian just a little bit. Guess what I said?
You said, where is the library?
No, that's donde está la biblioteca, but close. I said, let's try Indomie, and I hope my accent was acceptable. I'm still working on it. Okay.
I speak zero Indonesian. I only know that ayam means chicken.
Chicken, yes.
Yes, and that's about it.
That's about all I know, too.
Yeah, I can.
Why do we know that?
Well, because we eat a lot of food. We eat a lot of, not a ton of Indonesian food. I love Indonesian food, and it tends to be, at least for us, like, really one of the less represented foods, especially in terms of how large the country of Indonesia is.
Very, very true.
Indonesia is, what, the fourth biggest country
on
Earth?
I don't know.
Talk to them
by
on, like,
mass.
Google it. I'm
don't
pretty
know.
Sure it's fourth
Josh
biggest country
Google.
On Earth.
Indonesian food, there are a few very, very iconic spots. There's Sinapang, I think is what it's called.
Simpang,
very delicious.
Indonesia is fourth. It goes India, China, U.S., Indonesia.
Where's Russia? Is Mother Russia fifth?
Russia's way down. No,
Russia's not big?
10. Russia's big. It's 144 million, but it's below.
Russia's ninth.
Huh?
In terms of area or in terms of
population?
Oh, you
population.
Were doing it by population.
Yeah, Indonesia, not that big by area, too. It's an island, well, series of islands. But yeah, 287 million people. It's like pretty much the closest country to the size of the U.S.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I don't know why there wasn't a big Indonesian migration to the U.S. A lot more Indonesian people ended up in Australia.
Probably because it's closer.
Yeah, yeah. But still, like, you know, Los Angeles and New York are such big hubs for so many different communities.
Right.
And every time I've eaten Indonesian food, I have had a wonderful time.
Agreed. There's a level of complexity that I love with Indonesian food. I feel like they hit all five senses.
Yeah, very similar.
All five
dimensions of taste.
Dimensions of taste. That's what I was. I was like, they don't squirt lime
Sight,
in your eyes.
Sounds, smells.
But they do. They do touch every. It's sweet, salty, umami. There's bitterness. It's just very. It's a very complex, delicious cuisine that more people need to eat. And of course, we're going to try the most processed version of that with Indomie.
We are, but also Indomie. The first time I had Indomie, I was like, oh, this is easily the best.
It's so dank.
It's the best, especially the pan-fried noodle or mee goreng, right?
Mee goreng.
Yeah, nasi goreng is fried rice in Indonesia.
Right, right.
And mee goreng are pan-fried noodles.
Mee noodles, nasi rice.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big rendang guy.
Yeah.
Rendang? Oh, come on, man.
It's because it's cooked down for so long.
Kind of peanutty, red meat,
you know what
curry.
It is? It's also the combination of, like, the oil separating from the fat.
It's literally
that is
it's,
such a delicious.
It's not to, like, essentialize.
Curdle.
But it's kind of like in between the, like, Thai food and Indian food, right? It's a lot of techniques
and
flavors used in both.
Yeah.
For
same
me,
with Malaysian food.
Yeah, same with Malaysian food. But you know, Malaysia is, like, I think it is about only, like, one tenth the size of Indonesia.
Indonesia's huge.
So Indonesia, huge, very multicultural.
The islands, they're all very, very.
Yeah, you know, I've seen, like, Sumatra and Bali. And, you know, obviously, Indonesia is the biggest Muslim country on Earth.
Correct.
I think it had a female president before America.
That's really f-ing cool.
But anyways, let's get into trying Indomie. And Indomie, I believe, is the largest instant noodle manufacturer in the world.
That's crazy.
This day. And they started in the 1970s. What are you eating first? What flavor?
I'm eating the classic mee goreng, the pan-fried noodles. Also, one thing that I love about Indomie is the amount of sachets that they put in their product. If you don't mind, I'm actually going to pop open this one right over here and show you, aside from the brick that is located inside this guy, look at these. There's one, two, three, four, 5 points of flavor going on in here.
That's crazy.
There is bawang goreng, which means fried onion. There's a seasoning packet called bumbu. There's chili sauce, sambal. There's ketchup. I mean, we call it ketchup, but kecap. soy.
No, it's pronounced ketchup.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's a little ketchup. Yeah.
And then minyak bumbu, which is seasoning oil.
Also, that word ketchup is the same as our word ketchup. We got it from them.
Yes, correct.
That's crazy.
And it's
more
it's
people need to realize that.
And it's a very jammy version of ketchup. Like ketchup manis is a version that many people know. It's like this thick
ketchup.
Syrupy.
It's called ketchup manis. It's just ketchup.
We took
their word.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It sounds weird. It's just ketchup. I mean, I'm sure there's an accenture that's different.
So good.
But it's ketchup. Like ketchup sambal, ketchup manis.
Delicious.
Mm. I keep ketchup sambal in my fridge. Ketchup sambal, man, I should have brought it in today. It's this very, very thick, sweet soy.
Mm-hmm. That's what's in here, I think.
So ketchup manis, I believe, is a thick, dark soy. But this ketchup sambal... Sambal is a term for like a chili condiment.
Right.
And there's so many different regional sambals in Indonesia. But ketchup sambal has dried roasted chilies that are ground up in this sweet soy.
Mm.
So it's super chunky with dry roasted chilies, but super dark and sweet.
Delicious.
It's a combination of like dark, sweet, dusky, bitter, like that kind of like dark soy, almost like this iodine-y kind of like inky quality to it.
But that's why I like it.
No, same. It's so intense, dude. And I love it, man. I love this. The ketchup sambal. Man, go to your local. If you have an Asian market near you, they typically, like, we have a lot of 99 ranch. Some people call it ranch 99.
Which I respect.
From what I've heard, people from Northern California call it ranch 99. People from Southern California call it 99 ranch, depending on where the signing was.
Well, do you call it the 99 cent store or the 99 cents only store?
One's a brand name. The other is...
just a 99 cent store.
Yeah. But the 99 ranchers, Ranch 99, because I grew up with it where there's like a laurel leaf or something, but I grew up with it where it was 99 above Ranch Market below.
I only started going to 99 Ranch once I started working here.
We had one in like Irvine.
I wish I had more access to it. I would go to Nijiya Market. That was the closest quote unquote Asian market that
I would
go to.
But if you go to 99 Ranch, which is I think one of the bigger chains in the US, they always will have one like Southeast Asian aisle and go there and just get as many sambals as you can.
That's their international.
legitimately. Yeah. It's like if you go to a Mexican supermarket and they have one kind of like South American where they're like, we got some Peruvian pepper paste.
Right. Like, oh my God. It's so
Guatemalan
accurate.
Guatemalan products. Yeah.
So accurate. What are your thoughts and feelings about that? I just want to eat like four bowls of that right now.
All of the sachets do a job.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Because it is a dry
noodle.
The oil
to saute it in.
The oil like lubricates it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It really helps because it's not a wet noodle.
No.
It's
and
so
I
good.
Love a dry stir-fried noodle, man.
Me too. It's delicious.
Especially in Southeast Asian cuisine, dry stir-fried noodles, man.
It's a phenomenal. You know what? Also, I love that they put a bunch of stuff on the packaging, like an egg and some other like stuff on there.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, it's not plain by any means necessary, but they're telling you, hey, you got to put a lot of stuff on this.
You add an egg, you add some like achar, you add, you know, some grilled meats on there. That's a full
it's
delicious
a party.
Meal.
That's really good. Shoot. I'm going to make that a 9, man. I'm giving that a 9. Starting off strong
I give it a 9, too. Classic Indomie is really great. Now, we're eating soup noodles as well.
We are, because they're known for their dry noodle. But I'm like, you know what? It's time to eat some soup noodles. Let's see what we have. Hold on one second.
Soto ayam?
What? I know ayam is chicken.
I think soto means soup.
I don't know. I'm not
I only know languages from... Can you Google soto ayam?
Can you put that there? I can't. My arm doesn't move like that.
What does it say? Onion chicken. Get the
my favorite
here.
Kind of chicken is the chicken with onions. Should I have the first bite?
Pollo con cebolla. That's
exactly.
That's what it is in Indonesian. Pollo con cebolla.
Incredible. Again, multiple sachets in here.
Sorry.
I'm having a lot of fun, by the way. Anytime I eat noodles on this show, I have a good time.
How often? I'm just not eating instant noodles that much these days. You know what I mean?
We've done it on the show like 4 times.
Oh, on the show, but in my personal life. I tell you what, my go-to, I've really crystallized in my own beliefs and traditions, whereas my go-to cheat meal is always going to be some sort of like bean burrito.
Okay,
you know?
That's your cheat meal.
Yeah. But my like I just keep a bunch of tortillas, burrito-sized tortillas in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I always have some sort of can of beans.
Mm-hmm.
I brought a can of chickpeas with me today to work for lunch because I forgot that we were doing this.
So
not that I forgot we were doing this, but I was
what
like...
What would you have done with the chickpeas?
Mashed them and put them in a tortilla, dude. That's what I
wild.
Do. My wife is allergic to beans.
I'm
and so
sorry about your wife's
I
allergy
often,
and how that affects you.
I often like to make barbecue baked beans. I'll do a nice little coleslaw, barbecue baked bean, and grilled
barbecue.
Chicken set dinner. It's nice.
I hate barbecue at home.
But check this out. I make barbecue baked chickpeas.
You are so brave. You're so brave,
because
Josh.
She's allergic to other. She's not allergic to chickpeas because they're botanically different. And
you're
so
good,
ditto. I'll make chickpea
Josh,
puree and use it in bean burritos.
You're a great husband. I'm proud of you. Keep up the great work. Make sure she feels loved, respected, and understood. No. I literally need to go to the hospital.
God, that's salty.
It's one of the saltier ones. I'll
Shit.
Say.
It's spicy. It's oniony.
It's really good.
It's garlicky. It's got a ton of MSG
in it. So much allium flavor.
I think this is better than like a Maruchan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
why?
I don't think this can touch any of the Korean or Japanese brands.
In soup.
In soup form, right?
Well, yeah. I don't know what they're doing down in Korea. It's down to a freaking science, man. Their sauce, their like soup base is out of this world. There's
That's
not
funny,
a lot of sugar in there. I was hoping for more sugar. I equate onion ultra processed foods to have sweetness.
I would agree with that.
I wish it was a little bit sweeter.
I blame Subway's sweet onion chicken teriyaki. You know what I mean?
I love that stuff.
Because it's not, because the chicken teriyaki, for people that remember the sweet onion chicken teriyaki, there was no sweet onion on the chicken.
No, it was the sauce.
The teriyaki was on the chicken.
It was it was the corn syrup sauce.
Yeah, the sweet onion was the corn syrup sauce. That was just a
gloop.
I mean, it was a gloop.
It was like, you know that clear, song that's like gloop, bleep, 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 bleep.
There was no color to Subway's sweet onion sauce. It was just like Vaseline with some brown specks in it.
But it's
it was delicious.
It was so good. It was a different time.
It was a different time. And like, I...
Don't you love sweet onion? Don't you love, not sweet onion, I'm sorry. Don't you love like sweet chili sauce now because of that?
Oh, no one had to convince me to love sweet chili sauce.
I needed some convincing.
It was legit. It's sweet chili sauce without the chili.
I know, without the little orange flecks.
You know,
it's
like
just
the Thai,
flecks.
Like the Mei Ploy brand sweet chili sauce?
Of course, yes.
Imagine if that was like just in black and white.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Without the chili.
Like you're colorblind.
You're colorblind and you're seeing sweet chili sauce.
God bless
it's just
you.
A gray gloop.
So if I
That's
put,
sweet onion sauce.
If I put sweet onion sauce next to sweet chili sauce and I blindfolded you, do you think you would know the difference?
Yeah, you're not tasting chili. It's like...
Are you sure you can even taste the chili?
That's a fair point. I think you really can if you think about it.
I don't really think that much.
I don't know, dude.
And that's my best quality.
Do you remember going to a Tui De Bay's restaurant?
Yeah, is it still open? Didi?
I hope so.
Can you Google if Didi is still open? Mm-hmm.
But she made her own sweet chili sauce from scratch, like using fresh chilies and whatnot.
Well, that's different.
That was awesome.
That's
but that made
product.
Me like appreciate... It was still, like, super sweet and goopy in a great way, because that's what sweet chili sauce is.
Good goop.
Yeah, I think you can really taste the chilies more than you think.
I don't think I can taste any chilies whenever I eat sweet chili sauce.
Look, a lot of us have tried learning another language before, but knowing a few phrases isn't the same as a real conversation. Es verdad. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. I've always wanted to learn Italian to travel, but generic apps just don't stick.
Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Sapphire isn't one size fits all. It lets you focus on what you actually want to talk about, like food or family.
And that's all I want to talk about, really. They also have new chat missions to practice real-life conversations in a safe, interactive setting, giving you instant feedback so learning feels like a game. It's way more personalized and useful for real life.
If you want to try to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. A Hot Dog Is a Sandwich listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/hotdog to redeem 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/hotdog and start learning a language for real. Okay, next up, special chicken. What makes this chicken so special? It was in the GATE program.
Oh, God. For those of you who don't know, GATE is short for Gifted and Talented Education, and it was what our, like, the gifted kids who grew up to be insufferable, that was us. It was me. I was there. I was in the GATE program.
Did you have a secret book?
Secret book? What kind of secret book are you talking about?
Did the GATE people give you a secret book that you would, like, draw and write in? That was just for you.
I don't think. Is that what your gate kids? Were you a gate kid?
I was not a gate kid. I went to one gate class. And then they were like, never mind. I literally went to one gate class. And they're like, sorry. Big mistake. Now this guy has a literal bucket of MSG in it. And that's what makes it so special. It is drowning in MSG.
Wow.
Drowning in MSG. I've never tasted so much MSG per capita.
Give me the onion one back. Give me the onion one back. Like, these aren't bad, but I don't think there's any reason to buy a soup noodle from Indomie.
Fair.
You know what I mean?
Unless it's the only thing available to you. Reach for the Indomie if you can't find the shin. Do you think it's better than, like, Maruchan?
Than, like, Lion or, like, the soups? I don't know. Are they – I feel like these are almost in line with, like, a Maruchan or Nissin.
They're a little bit – I'll say they all have a certain level of spice, which I really, really like.
There is a level of spice, which I appreciate.
I do appreciate that.
But, like, the my dad worked at a 99 cent store.
99 cents only.
He got fired. It was 99 cents only. No, no.
He didn't work at 99 cents only. What store did he
work
at?
No, my dad worked at an independent, a proud, independently owned strip mall 99 cent store that was definitely a screen for drug running.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. No chance he was making money off this 99 cent store. but anyways, they got a bunch of discontinued like cup noodle flavors.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were like, there was like Mexican
cheddar
brands. Well, it was like cheddar and stuff, but then just like. Camarones caliente con limón. Bro, yeah. I was an 8-year-old child just exclusively eating Mexican cup noodles. And that spicy chili lime shrimp, so good. So good. The packaging was just in Spanish. Was he working for the cartels? What was going on?
Was it like 10 cents?
So much for my childhood. Yeah, it was 10 for a dollar. There's simply so much my childhood that is
10 for a dollar?
10 for a dollar.
Yeah, there is. And you know what? One day we're going to unpack that. We meaning you.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited when you do. You know what's going to happen? It's going to be like an ecstasy kind of come down where you're going to be like, I know so much and I feel so much. And then you're going to slowly descend into super duper sadness.
My dad knew a guy with a tiger.
Tiger King?
His name was Jim.
Is it the Tiger King guy?
It's the Tiger King. No, he owned a gas station and car wash.
And he just had a tiger?
He would bring the tiger out.
Did you touch the tiger?
I didn't touch it. So, like...
Were you close to the tiger?
Yeah, because everyone was close to the tiger.
What do you mean everyone was close to the tiger?
We lived at the corner of somewhere in Santa Margarita Parkway and maybe Buena Suerte. And there was a gas station across the street and a car wash.
Was this in Carlsbad?
No, this is when we moved up to RSM, Rancho Santa
Margarita.
What's
RSM?
Next to Mission Viejo, like South Orange County.
Okay.
And we moved up there, and my dad just, like, walked across the street and was just like, hey, can I have a job here? He was, like, a substitute teacher at the time,
okay.
Wanted to make more money. Mm-hmm. So my dad just, like, worked nights at this gas station that was literally, like, 50 yards from our apartment.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, okay. It's cool. And their main source of the money there was their car wash. And the guy who owned it had a tiger, and once a year he would, like, they would bring in animal trainers and they like fence off part of this car wash.
This is insane.
And you just like bring the tiger. And there would just be like a 500-pound Bengal tiger. And then once like they had this big fountain water fixture thing. And the tiger just like destroyed the fountain.
That is terrifying.
Yeah, man.
Did the tiger attack anybody ever?
No, I don't think the tiger ever attacks anybody. But
did they
just
remove the tiger from the
home? I brought that guy in for my middle school career day. Because, like, I was ashamed of my dad or whatever. And so I was like, let's get Jim. Let's get the guy with the tiger, dude.
The gas station owner with the tiger?
Yeah, he was sick, dude. We had brought pictures of the tiger.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he gave all the kids coupons for car washes, dude.
Hey, do you love tigers? Do you love gas stations? How about you like this video? I'm going to get really good at doing this organically, Josh. Make sure to like this video because if you like the video, we get happy and you get to watch us eat more things. That's it. Are you looking for him?
I'm trying to see if I can find a picture of this damn tiger.
Josh, focus, please.
I am focused. You would bring in a tiger.
That's really cool. Are you sure you're not making it up to like block out other memories?
I don't think the tiger was like
an imaginary
metaphor
friend?
Like how we all have a tiger.
What? No, Josh. The metaphor is in you, there are two wolves. Not in you is one tiger.
Yeah, I can't find any evidence of this tiger. I swear it existed, man. Anybody who is in Rancho Santa Margarita, near the corner of Buena Suerte and Santa Margarita Parkway, sometime between, let's say, like, 2002 and, like, 2012. Let me know if you know what I'm talking about with the tiger. It was there.
Holy crap.
All right, what are we eating now?
Chicken curry.
Chicken curry? Is this a soup?
Mm-hmm.
Fudge, yeah, man. Is it great? This better be the best thing I've ever had.
I wish it was more yellower. I wish it was yellower.
It smells really cinnamony, which is what I want from a
curry. Go ahead and taste it. I wish I had more turmeric. If I had more turmeric, I'd be happier.
Yeah, but that would cost like an extra 2 cents. You can't have that.
No, but like fake turmeric, whatever, food coloring. You know what I mean? Lie to me. End on me, lie to me. End on me. Barely know me.
The spice palette.
It's a lot of cinnamon and clove.
Yeah.
Which I like.
This kind of tastes like I had a bunch of their normal chicken flavor. But I kind of like got bored and started tinkering with it myself.
Mm-hmm.
I had like a little too much garam masala and was like, well, we're eating it.
It is just garam masala.
It's just garam masala, right? Which is to say like very warm winter spices. Kind of a crazy way.
But it's unexpected. Like I was really expecting like some yellow ass, like highlighter style curry. But it kind of like, you know, this excites me. It's a little different than I was anticipating.
Rarely do you have those curry flavors with a clear broth.
Really exciting.
You know what I mean?
This never happens.
Those flavors and the smells should exist with a yellowy gravy.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I get exactly what you're saying. That's great, though. I'd rather have that than the other two.
I have to taste the other soups.
I think that's a solid 8.5.
There's also a really nice black pepper finish to it.
There is.
Yeah.
A lot of pepper. I don't even get black pepper. There's like different peppercorns in there, it feels like.
I'm having a lot of fun just drinking from the bowl.
Dude, you remember the Bulldog Day?
Yep.
It's your last day before having a baby.
Sorry, that was my email. Yeah, apparently people say it like puts you into early labor.
Yeah.
But I didn't have that problem.
Didn't Eve come pretty early?
Well, I was induced.
By the bulldog?
No, by my doctor.
Oh, your doctor's name is Bulldog?
And then I was induced, and then I had to have an emergency C-section anyways.
Because of the bulldog?
No!
I'm very confused how the ramen fits into this.
My husband's FaceTiming me. Tell him to shut up.
Well, ask him about your C-section. Say, baby, I'm talking about my C-section on the podcast.
No. That's really good. That's probably my favorite soup.
It's my favorite soup. That curry. If there's sort of ever an option between normal style and curry.
I'm going curry
like 9 times out of 10. And I don't know what's going on in that other one time.
I'm going curry style.
You know, it's very rare that I don't want some sort of curry. What do we got here? Hot and spicy?
Oh, yeah. No, you go first. Come on.
Okay.
You go first. It's hot and spicy.
Oh, give me the original.
Say please.
Give me the please original. Thank.
You know what it is? There is such a strong fried onion flavor in all of these. And I think it's because fried onion is such an important flavor of mee goreng.
Wait, fried onion, very important flavor in a lot of Indonesian cookery.
Mm-hmm.
Fried shallot, garlic, chili. Shout out to Bungkus Bagus. Bungkus Bagus makes an incredible condiment.
Are they still around? That's awesome.
Yeah, I think they've been making this jarred condiment. It's like fried chilies, shallots, garlic, and it's so GD good. The original one's better.
Okay, let me see. Because it's not.
The original one tastes more, you get more sweet and more onion. And there's still some spice in the original, right? It's not like it's devoid of spice.
The flavor when it hits your tongue is instant with the classic.
Mm-hmm.
The hot and spicy is using the hot and spicy as a crutch. Because they're using less other kinds of seasoning.
There's literally not as much flavor in there.
So true.
Yeah, the original Indomie.
Yeah.
Mee goreng is better.
Yep.
Fascinating.
Well, I'm loving the mee goreng and I'm loving the chicken curry.
We got one more.
Are we on the same page?
We got barbecue chicken, yeah.
This is the one I was most excited to try. Why? Because what does barbecue mean in Indonesia? I'm about to find out.
Dude, have we done an entire like exhaustive podcast on what barbecue means?
Yes.
Did we?
What is barbecue?
Yeah, we did.
I think we did that maybe four years ago. Josh, we've done this for a long time, dude.
I know, man. I've been doing this for 6 years. 6.5.
I mean, this is the best way possible. This tastes like a Yankee candle. Eat it. I'm sorry.
I don't know if I know what a Yankee candle is.
You mean to tell me you've never, like, put your finger in a Yankee candle?
Listen, I've put my finger in a lot of things, Nicole, and none of them have ever been a Yankee candle.
You've never been to Bed Bath & Beyond, and there was a section of candles, and there was a Yankee candle?
I was like, this tastes like...
candles.
It tastes like Pringles. like a whole tube of barbecue. It is literally like a tube of barbecue Pringles and instant ramen body swapped. You know what I mean?
Well, for me, it tastes like just straight up, it tastes like chemicals and char.
Yeah. Oh, they're probably using a charred meat extract in here.
Probably. Oh, I forgot to change it out. Sorry.
Yeah, this is less good than I want it to be.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. That's really disappointing. I was so hyped to try it. I think what we've discovered is OG Migoreng is the way to go.
OG Migoreng is the way to go. Also, Indomie, I think this is probably the best. Well, I don't know. Bulldog's been doing a lot of really great work, man. Mm-hmm. Bulldog has, I feel like, cornered the market on new school instant ramen.
Yeah.
Indomie, though, as far as, like, their original flavor goes, I think that's pound for pound the best instant noodle in the game.
I really love the dry noodle. Soup noodle, I could take it or leave it. The original Migoreng, it's just really damn well balanced. The thing about Bulldog is they're experimenting with different noodle shapes. They're experimenting with different flavor profiles. I never thought about doing a spicy carbonara with corn or whatever. That was never even a thought to me. What's up? You like the sugariness? It's sugary. It tastes like sugar.
It's sugar. It's onion. It's burnt soy. It's the way that the oil coats your mouth. It's not greasy, though.
It's not greasy.
The oil
at all.
Absorbs into the noodles and it gets them to just separate enough.
Which makes a really pleasant clump. Makes a really pleasant eating experience when they don't clump like that.
There's certain like ergonomics to specifically noodles, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
That I think a lot of people don't think about. Mm-hmm. One of my big knocks on a lot of Thai restaurants is a lot of the times, right? Like their noodles completely. If you get like a really good Thai noodle
stick
chef,
together.
You know. The noodles are, like, they should stick together a little bit, but, you know, so many times you'll go to a Thai restaurant and the noodles will be super broken and they'll be clumped together. And it's still a delicious dish, but, like, a really great Thai noodle experience, proper pad Thai, pad kee mao, whatever, is, like, you know, they're slicked with oil, but they're still burnt into the wok. They still hold their shape. It's a really tough thing to do. That's why technique matters as a cook.
I know. I think I've only had two pad Thais before in my life. Where the noodles were separated and the eating experience was incredibly pleasant, which actually turns me off to pad Thai because I feel like it deserves respect. You know what I mean? Create a delicious pad Thai noodle. The dish deserves time, effort, and energy instead of just slopping it all together, which unfortunately a lot of places do. That doesn't change the fact that it's a delicious dish, like you said.
But
the eating experience of each noodle being separated, having a slight pull from the base is really, really important.
I feel like pad Thai... To me, you would we all roughly know the story about, you know, the Thai consulate giving a lot of incentives to Thai restaurant owners. And I feel like I grew up, like, hearing about Thai food on cartoons and media and whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. You'd be, like, watching. I never watched Friends, so this doesn't make any sense.
I never watched Friends either.
But you'd watch some show and they'd be like, we're going out for Thai food tonight. Like, I feel like that was the thing that I grew up.
Oh, yeah. You're so right.
And they were like, you know, I lived in Orange County, and we had, you know, Thai restaurants. We had a local one called Rice and Spice that was like, I actually went back as an adult. It was great. What was I saying?
I don't know.
Pad Thai.
Yeah.
Pad Thai became the dish that everyone seemed to know, right?
Right.
You go to Thai food, you eat Pad Thai. It's right in the name.
It's right in the name.
I feel like since then, that was like the cultural peak of Pad Thai. And now I feel like people aren't ordering it as much. Does that make sense? Do you feel like pad Thai has fallen in station?
I never order pad Thai anymore.
Me neither.
I always get pad siu. I've been a pad siu girl since the jump.
I want to go back to pad Thai. I think pad Thai is a better, more complex dish than pad siu.
I don't always want complexity.
The tamarind and the sweet.
My body does not always crave complexity. Sometimes I just need a baseline of good stuff. Sometimes I just
need oyster sauce, the dark soy, the broccoli.
And the broccoli. So good. But we need to eat more Migoreng. I think what we've learned from this is actually going out and eating Indonesian food needs to be done a lot more across the United States and parts of Canada. Like, it's really delicious. More people need to eat Indonesian food, period.
Vancouver, get after it. it's probably, I bet there's good Indonesian food in Vancouver.
I bet there is.
All right, Nicole.
What's up?
I think they've heard what you and I have to say. And I think it's time, you know, we can find out I think the opinions could maybe even be wacky, and I think they're rattling out there.
Where?
The universe.
Oh. You know what? I think it's time for a little section. We call.
A little section.
We call.
The classic section.
We call.
You and I, we call it.
Me and you.
Something. Oh, you're talking about. Opinions are like casseroles. God damn it, we're good at improv-ing. Let's get to those opinions. Logan, light them up.
Hi, Josh and Nicole.
Hi, honey.
This is Matt Coughlin
from Florida. So, first off, I want to address, this has come up in a number of episodes. Josh, you often invoke the term Socratic forms, but I want
sure.
to clarify
okay.
that
yeah.
The forms are actually concepts much more associated with Plato. So, you know.
The Platonic form?
Get dunked on. But also, so I'm an entomologist. I
That's
study
really funny.
Insects as my career. So I wanted to know what your guys' thoughts on entomophagy was about, you know, the consumption of insects. If you've ever had insects as part of cuisine, what you think of it, whether or not you think it should enter the main culinary canon. Anyway, just wanted to know, do you think people should eat bugs more? Anyway, thank you. Bye. Love you guys.
Love you too.
I will get dunked on. Here's the thing. Socrates was a made-up person by Plato, right?
I did not know that.
This is the thing?
I didn't know that.
I thought Socrates was a student of Plato.
No, Plato would have been a student of Socrates, right?
Oh, whatever. They're like students of each other, whatever.
But I think there's like an idea that maybe it's like, I don't know shit. I don't know shit.
Socrates was an Athenian scholar and philosopher who was considered a founder of Western philosophy and rational inquiry. He was known for his unique questioning style, the Socratic method, which involved asking probing questions to help students reach their own understanding. Sounds like a rabbi.
Yeah, he's definitely a rabbi. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. You're right. Listen, I don't know anything. I read The Republic by Plato, and I read the Socratic Dialogues, which I believe were written by Plato.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
And so,
Josh,
listen, I
have some class.
I'll start
please.
Changing it to Platonic forms. I don't know nothing about forms.
Socrates. Okay.
What I do know, Nicole, check out. Can you read this headline and byline?
This fast food cricket milkshake might save the world. Did you write that?
By Joshua Scherer. For some reason, Vice. This is a Vice article from 10 years ago. Holy smokes.
Wow.
I bought 1,000 mealworms.
Okay, Socrates was Plato's teacher.
I think there's like a fringe belief that Socrates didn't exist.
Are you saying like William Shakespeare didn't exist?
That thing. Which is, that's probably not true either, right? I refuse to look this up. Entomophagy. Bug eating. I wrote a story about how I really wanted to, sorry, I'm reading this old piece that I have, and there's a
typo?
No, there's an advertisement for a concert that I really want to go to. Knocked Loose with Denzel Curry. Laptop's closed. They have a really good song called Hive Mind. Laptops ghost. There was a student at Auburn who was cooking and eating bugs every day for 30 days. And I got very inspired by that. I was like, I'm going to do that. I found a mealworm farm where I ordered 1,000 mealworms. And I was living still in my college apartment with all my college friends. And I just get like, I come home from work one day because I was living there for a year when I had already started working. And I come home and there's a box. And I kind of like reach my hands in the holes of the box and just like mealworms started crawling out on me. And I was like, oh, this is disgusting. And I was going to throw it away. And then I was like, no, you have to follow through on this. And I'd eaten certain bugs before. I was never grossed out by it. But like once they were crawling on me, I was like, this is a little different. I was going to make mealworm al pastor tacos. And then I froze them trying to kill them. And then mealworms got out into my freezer. And it all just sort of really disgusted me. And I felt like a fraud. And then I found out that this fast food restaurant called like Jake's Wayback Burgers.
Never heard of it.
Introduced a, I think it's like a New Zealand based fast food restaurant. And there was randomly one in LA. They had introduced a cricket milkshake. And so I kind of like wrote this story about, you know, do we benefit anything from just hiding bugs in stuff like a milkshake, and my own hypocrisy of trying to cook bugs and not doing it. So there's a lot of hurdles to get over when it comes to entomophagy. And I think a lot of people frame this as like Western versus non-Western. Like Western people are freaked out by eating bugs. I think a lot of people around the world are freaked out by eating bugs. And I think that seeing one Thai street market where people are eating scorpions on a Travel Channel show is not indicative of the level of entomophagy around the world. I love eating like chapulines, which are my favorite mezcal bar called Daisy. Serve chapulines with every pour of mezcal. It's a nice little salty snack. Those are fried crickets. But I don't know. Couple good Mexican bugs out there. Chiquitana ants, delicious.
There's a movie called Snowpiercer, which is one of my top five movies, alongside Dumb and Dumber and Life is Beautiful. Great films. And The Fox and the Hound. And I think those are my favorite movies. And there's a scene where they're giving these people in the back of the train protein bars. And then they find out what the protein bars are made out of. Spoilers, it's cockroaches. So I think there's a weird like mentality where people are grossed out by bugs. And the idea of the creepy crawlies and like they're like gross little things moving around. I do think that once they are, you know, kind of severed from that creepy crawly mentality, I think they're a great source of protein. I've eaten bugs many, many, many times in many, many different facets. I've never been grossed out by them once they're dead. When they're alive, it's a little bit different. Like if your mealworms came like freeze-dried, it would be a different story. Like they were alive and you had to like, you basically had to like fabricate mealworms.
Yeah, which is why I was really interested in doing it.
And it's not for the faint of heart. Mm. Neither is fabricating chickens. Neither is killing cows. Neither is any form of killing animals for food. It's not an easy job to do. We don't do that because we live in 2026 in America and we're not killing chickens in the back of our houses anymore. We're not killing goats for food. We're not doing that. We're not killing bugs for, you know, for sustenance. So I will eat bugs, and I think more people should eat bugs to see how they taste. I think, again, great sources of protein. People have been doing it for thousands of years. I probably won't eat more bugs than I do already, but if I see it in front of me, I'll have a bite.
Dis-moi ce que tu manges, je te dirai ce que tu es.
Whatever Josh says.
Tell me what you eat, I'll tell you what you are. And I don't think that we are bug eaters, right?
As humans?
I think, which isn't to say that we shouldn't be. But I think as a society, at least can only comment on American right now, so much of – I wrote this story about crickets 10 years ago, right? Because I was like, that was big in terms of sustainability. We were looking at the climate crisis going, what can we feasibly do? Let's make burgers that bleed out of soy. Impossible and Beyond came on the market. Let's explore lab-grown meat. Let's see if that works. Let's dive so deep into almond milk that the dairy companies launch a PSYOP against almond milk to try and say that it's bad for the environment, right? Let's explore alternate proteins like bugs. Now, we literally have a steak at the top of our food pyramid. There's such a strong reaction against that culture 10 years ago of this idea of reducitarianism, right? To try and combat the climate crisis and also, you know, moral issues of killing beef, whatever. To where now beef is more highly consumed and fetishized despite wildly exorbitant prices by Americans because we view ourselves as a nation of beef eaters, right? And it really is historically very important to America in that way. And so I think the current cultural moment, we are so much farther away than we were 10 years ago in terms of this kind of future where we're talking about eating sustainable proteins like cricket. I think the empire burns before we become a nation of cricket eaters. For better, not for better or worse, I think for worse, but, you know, that's what it is. I don't know. Fascinated by it. I'm really fascinated. If you can't tell, it's kind of funny that we've been together here talking with each other, you and I, and with the audience for 6 years, where, like, there's been a tremendous amount of cultural upheaval.
Of course, yes.
You know? And a lot that dictates our food.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
Did you know what a seed oil was 6 years ago?
I didn't give a single f*** what a seed oil was.
And we were fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just all of these things, everything kind of comes out that's new. But it's funny because the cricket eating thing, yeah, I remember writing about that 10 years ago, thinking it was going to be a much bigger part of my life in 2026. And instead they're like, you know, Steak and Shake brought back beef tallow? It's like, oh shit, that's where we're at. Okay. Weird. Yeah, here we are.
I remember the craze, the cricket craze, the cricket. I remember there was a guy who made cricket protein flour on Shark Tank 7-8 years ago. Don't know where he's at.
Now there's beef broth, bone broth protein batter.
Which is just protein powder.
Hey, how y'all doing? That was one heck of a message. Anyway, Charles here with what
I think
might be a controversial opinion. But it's not from Opinion region in France. I guess it's just a sparkling wine.
Just sparkling thoughts.
Anyway, I think that Coke, as in Coca-Cola, is a criminally underrated ingredient used in recipes of the kitchen. Oh. Everything from like a very tenderizing marinade for tough cuts of meat to an actually quite effective leavening agent in some baking recipes. I think people underestimate the amount of uses it has. One of which is probably the best summertime snack you can imagine. And that's just taking a bottle of Coke and a glass bottle if you can find it. Drinking it down probably quarter to a third of the way and then filling it up with salted and roasted peanuts.
Hell yeah, dude.
I had that growing up in Georgia all the time, but folks where I live now think it's weird as hell. Anyway, I hope you all stay good. All right, thanks.
Coke and peanuts is such a combo.
It's so good, man.
It is good.
It's like the only two flavors that like Coke is missing. You know what I mean? Is that kind of like saltiness and that little like roastiness. Sorry, I drink too much Diet Coke.
I agree. More people should be cooking with Coke. Whenever I was working at a little place in Torrance, we used to put orange soda in our chicken marinade and Coca-Cola in our beef marinade, which made it absolutely delicious.
That's great. What was this place?
It was a place I worked at.
What did it? Is this a restaurant? Is this a?
No, Josh, it was a shoe store.
I don't know. But it could have been like, was it like a catering? Was it a wholesale? Was it a CPG?
I worked at a kiosk in Del Amo Mall.
Oh my God! What
you
what?
Knew this about me?
But like, what ethnicity were the?
It
people?
Was Japanese, so it was like sushi. And
okay, that
stir
makes
fribbles.
Sense. Yeah, yeah. So that makes sense that you get that like bourbon chicken.
I was not called bourbon chicken.
For whatever reason, there was a slate of, I believe it was Japanese owned like teriyaki adjacent restaurants that served something called bourbon chicken in malls.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like sugar and soy, and it was delicious.
It
maybe
was
there was
so
some
much
in
fun
there.
Working in a mall.
I bet, man.
It was great. I learned so much. I learned how to be very fast at things. What? No, I'm serious. I was there for like 3-4 months, and I would drive from literally the Beverly Center all the way to Torrance every single day for 7 days a week. It was so much fun. I was just a different person back then. I was like very curious.
I wish I could have met young Nicole.
You guys would have loved her. I'm telling you right now, 19-year-old Nicole, she was open to every, if you said, hey, do you want to go bungee jumping? I would say, yeah, let's go right now. Like I had I think it's because my amygdala or my cerebral cortex, my frontal cortex wasn't like fully formed.
I don't know who Socrates is.
My brain was not fully formed and I was doing whatever I wanted. I was chain smoking cigarettes. I had a Jeep Patriot and I would just zoom to Torrance and zoom. I'd go, I'd work at Torrance for hours. My mom was like, Vid, how are you? I'm like, Mom, I'm in Torrance. She's like, why? You can't get a job closer to home? And I'm like, yes, I can, but I don't want to because I want to try something new. I'm tired of my life.
You're like, I'm smoking a cigarette.
I'm smoking cigarettes because I feel cool. God, I was such a dork.
Isn't that powerful of a tenderizer? Isn't that powerful of a leavening agent?
Have you ever seen the videos where you put a dirty penny in a bottle of Coke and then after 15 minutes you pull it out and it's like disintegrating?
That's acid. That's like that's just acid. It's clean.
Acid breaks
vinegar.
Down. Acid breaks down proteins and muscle fibers.
No, but doesn't acid? Okay, acid and marinade. Like you wouldn't marinate things in lemon, right?
People marinate things in lemon all the time.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it good. I feel like we've done that before. I feel like you don't. want to marinate things for a long time in acid. I feel like you want to marinate things a long time in base. Base breaks down protein. Acid tightens protein. Can somebody who's smarter than I feel dumb. Okay. I don't know.
Listen up, big guy. You ever had chicken? Hey, you ever put a bottle of Wishbone Italian dressing with some chicken breast and let it sit in your fridge for 6 hours?
That was my brother's specialty.
Yeah,
when we were
I'm
kids.
Sure it yeah, was. Yeah. Okay, was there no acid in the Wishbone dressing? Let me answer that for you. It was rhetorical. Of course there's acid
there
in
was.
The
I also
dressing.
Thought it tastes like shit. It was just corn syrup and oil.
I'm
and
not done.
Acid.
Let me reclaim my time.
I never liked my brother's Italian dressing marinated chicken. But I never thought it was good.
Okay, but like obviously, like okay, fine. Maybe we need to do a side by side test later, whenever we're not busy. Of like citrus juice, or like acid versus non acid marinades.
Because there's also certain things like buttermilk that like is acidic.
There's
like
acid in
milk
there.
Is a base, right? But then I think the buttermilk the
has acid.
Acid, but I would think that it's an enzymatic reaction. Like pineapple juice has acid, right? But it's the bromelain. Bromelain.
That's in papaya, kiwi.
Papaya has papain.
But it also has bromelain.
Maybe. But the papayan, I know, is what breaks it. It's even more powerful than pineapple. I use papaya in this Indian recipe that I made for Priyanka Chopra, galauti kebab.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, dude. Literally made it.
I like the way you said that.
Galauti.
Really nice accent.
Thank you so
that.
Much. It's my Lucknowi accent. Shout out to the Uttar Pradesh homies.
Cool.
I never had Lucknowi cuisine. Had you?
I don't even know what that is.
Northernmost province in India. But like deep like royal cuisine history.
Cool.
But anyways, very cool. But like, yeah, you added the papaya to uh-huh. it and it like literally made it so you didn't have to chew the meat at all.
Whoa.
It broke apart in your mouth. And that was the point of this dish.
Yum.
It was like some king.
Like Toro.
It was literally like a king that had like lost his teeth and he was old and 300 years ago asked the royal cook
chefs
to like, you know, I still want to enjoy your delicious meat kebab, but how do I do it without teeth?
And incredible.
Yeah, the Nawab. But anyways, agreed about Coke. I just don't know about the specific claims that you've made. Because my favorite part about Coke is just it's got a really unique flavor profile, the cola nut and the spices that you don't find in other things. It's got that deep, rich caramel color that's wonderful. And then it's got sugar and it's got acid. And so that's awesome in something like
teriyaki bowls.
Teriyaki bowl or like a chicken adobo, right? Or pork. Honestly, sure. Coke and pork probably goes better together. But there's a Vietnamese dish called Tit Khao. And one of the, inexplicably, this is a fascinating story. Canonically, one of the ingredients you put in it is a coconut soda called Coco Rico.
Really delicious.
I grew up thinking that was a Vietnamese soda or maybe even a Filipino soda that made its way to Vietnam because it has a Spanish name, Coco Rico.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a Puerto Rican soda.
Isn't
and
it?
And it was like Coco Rico, can you look this up? Mm-hmm. I think, I'm pretty sure Coco Rico is Puerto Rican.
How interesting.
And like made its way into like the Vietnamese American canon because they would just have it at these like international markets.
Wild.
Yep.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico.
It's
I love food for reasons like that.
Same. And so yeah, you make something like that dish where you put Coca-Cola in it. We used to glaze ham in Coke. Yeah, Coke and pork is like wonderful. I love cola. I love Dr. Pepper too. I love root beer. I love soda pop.
I'm a big you like soda cream pop soda?
Guy. Cream soda is kind of lower on my list than other.
What about Cactus Cooler?
You know I love Cactus Cooler.
Do you like orange soda?
I like orange soda. I like grape soda better.
Oh, you do?
Grape soda, black cherry soda. It's like rare to find a soda that I don't just like love.
Black cherry soda sounds so good.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Do you remember drinking like IBC? IBC
I never
root beer?
Drank it, but it was a really cool, yeah.
Jones soda.
Jones soda was the one that
have,
I
like,
would
honeydew.
Frequent most. That was like cool.
Oh my God.
Gosh, it was such like crazy. God. Like we were like twee. On Tumblr, drinking Jones soda, taking photos.
I was really offline, man. I don't know what people are talking about with, like, the Tumblr and all. It sounds so scary. I was playing with a ball outside, right? And I was getting real good at it.
I'm
you know
so
what
proud
I mean?
Of you.
Yeah. I played basketball at the park with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And
recently?
Yeah. And we're both so—
How tall is John?
6'3". He's taller than me, too.
I did not know that. I thought that was his hair.
Nope, taller than me. Good at basketball, too. But he and I were both, like, our knees hurt. We're old. And then it was a 50-year-old man who was mean guarding a 14-year-old boy who was also mean. And they were just being mean to each other. As me and my brother and the guys we were guarding were just like, do we need to, like, step in? Are they okay? Like, they're both just talking so much vitriolic shit.
Were
to
they
each
like
other.
6'7"? And the old guy's like, "You'll never buy a house."
No, no. This like old guy was just like throwing up the craziest looking, admittedly a crazy looking shot. And the 14, and he was making a couple of them. And the 14-year-old would just be like, "Man, that's bullshit. How does that shit even go in? Looks ugly as you're ugly as." And then this guy would just be like talking shit back to him, as opposed to being like, "Hey, like, listen,
this is
you need to learn some respect." Which I've stopped a game to go like, "Young man, you need to learn some respect." You know what I mean?
And is this all sports?
So and said this 50-year-old, he was being a to me. I would like miss a shot, and he'd like throw his hands out. And be like, "Oh, you got to make that," and I would just be like,
"The old man. Was
do you not
that?
Think I tried, old man? Do you not think that I tried my best
God,
to put
I
it in the
sports?"
To big old ball and a so little dramatic. Old basket, and I'm 15 feet away. I'm trying.
It's like I'm watching Vanderpump Rules.
You face.
What is this? So it's literally what you're saying is so boring. Please gain some perspective.
We gotta go. Bye. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Please like.
Call us at 833-1800 cars for kids.
There's a
land. Oh, no,
you
no,
see
go,
the
go.
Land. You see the landmark settlement.
Yeah, don't call cars for kids.
Don't call, cars for
call General now for a great
for a great low rate. You can get online, go to the General, and save some time. Keys on Venice. Keys on Venice.
What's the other one? I was like,
you won't get a lemon.
Toyota of Orange. I would have got a lemon.
Bye.